Sagittarius, right?
Yeah, we're going to do Sagittarius, but I want us to, it's been obviously quite a while since we've done it, so I'm going to review where we have come from and what we've been through. Huh?
A whirlwind tour.
Yeah, whirlwind tour. The problem with what this is about is that it's like, for most of you, the stuff that has happened thus far seems, how can I say it? It seems intense to you. Hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
It seems like, it's, what? What are you doing now?
You're going to say it's not.
Well, I'm saying that the intensity, if you look at this star map as a view of what our fate is, the intensity hasn't started yet.
Approximately where are we
on the star map?
We're a third of the way through.
We're one.
We're
one-fourth of the way through.
Oh, God.
We haven't gone out to the garage to open the door yet and get back the car out.
But let me tell you the reason. The reason is that all of the things that have taken place up till this point, all your temptations, your activities, they're the things that have come against you as a person, as a personality, as a your idols, your idolatry. Well, the walk has nothing to do with your temptations. It has to do with his temptations.
What is his temptation?
Testing. Huh?
What is his temptation?
His temptation is never, ever to lean on his arm. Ever, ever, ever. After his baptism, he never once. He only acted spontaneously. And the fruit of the spontaneous act became the rest of the story in the star map. In other words, it's the testing that comes as a result of you being a disciple. Up till now, this is testing simply to see whether or not you're a disciple. Do you understand? Like in stealth, stealth's been at this for 14 years, and they haven't reached the door of the tabernacle. They've reached it, but they haven't gone into the door. So all of the words of Christ about I am the way, the truth, and the life, they describe this moment in Christ's life from the door of the tabernacle to the mercy seat. We don't know anything yet about what it means to say I am, for him to say I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you understand me? Your activities, your intensities, your thoughts and processes have only thus far been concerning you. Well, that's nothing.
I guess the problem, the reason I can't understand this, is I can't see where you could have a problem if you perceived a problem. You wouldn't think it was your problem. You know what I'm trying to say.
Well, all of you are my problem. I mean, I don't have a career. I don't have a life. I don't sit around and think about whether or not I'm getting this right or whether or not I really understand one of these points or... I mean, that doesn't even enter my consciousness. I mean, it enters my consciousness if I hurt myself and I say, ouch. But my warfare has nothing to do with me anymore. Does that make sense? Well, therefore, I still have tons of problems, but they're you. They're that which is connected to presenting you perfect in Christ. Now, that still isn't, that's still way down here somewhere. The real thing comes along when you are publicly identified with all of this that you say you believe. That's what the rest of the star map is about. And you can't take that walk until your testing, your temptations have been dealt with. I'm not saying you're perfect. I mean, I'm just saying you don't care anymore. Okay? Am I communicating at all, or am I talking to air?
No, it makes sense. I don't like it, but it makes sense.
What don't you like?
Well, I keep, it's similar to what Daryl just said. I keep thinking, it's stupid, but I keep thinking that someday I'm going to get to a point where it'll be easy, where it'll be easy.
It's totally easy.
Yeah. I was saying reverse. It'll always just be working around, trying to figure things out.
No. That's why it's still your temptations now.
I mean, I agree with that part of it. I mean, I can understand that part of it. I couldn't see anything but that.
Okay, the easy part of it is... Well, that sounds like a cliche because I've said it so often. But the easy part of it comes when there is a consciousness that you can no longer make a mistake. Now, that causes a total and complete rearranging of your brain cells. Now, none of you can even conceive of that because I've been screaming and yelling at you. And it looks like I'm screaming and yelling at you because you think you've made a mistake. This walk is totally different from any other thing on the face of the earth. It's not screaming and yelling at you so that you will get it right. It's screaming and yelling at you so you'll withstand screaming and yelling at you.
That makes sense. I've been waiting for that day. And so I'm going to feel it changing.
When will I withstand screaming and yelling?
Well, it's not screaming and yelling. It's when you picked up the cross.
Right.
He that is dead is freed from sin. Don't you all still think that somehow this process has something to do with you getting better or doing things differently?
Well, you know, it's funny, you try not to think that. It always seems to want to creep in.
Well,
I'd be satisfied with knowing I couldn't make mistakes. Yeah, I'd be real satisfied. That's better.
Yeah, it goes along with then. You say, okay, I can never make a mistake, and everyone's gonna be nice to me.
Well,
it always throws you when people are not nice to you and yell at you.
Because
wait a minute, what have I done?
Today I got, and George is always in my shit. He's always following me around and watching me real close, and he'll take jobs I do, and he acts as if I don't know what I'm doing some of the time, and so it's because of my forgetfulness, and so that is the very thing in me today. You know, I'm still wanting to get better, and not in my forgetfulness to improve somehow.
This is so deep in our consciousness that it's almost, it's left to our own devices, it's impossible to reach the beginning stage. Now, the only way I know to do it is what we've been doing. I don't know any other place, any other religious organization where you go to and you get yelled at all the time. Maybe there are, maybe they do it now.
Yeah. I'm sure they do this at other churches.
That's what I was just thinking.
No, I mean, go visit one of
church you get screamed at.
Yeah, go to any church that you came from previous to your experience here. There was never, I doubt maybe there was, but at least if, I mean, there may have been one or two times that somebody said something to you that, but fundamentally, their idea of you being accepted was you're accepted because you're hidden. Not you're accepted because you're tested.
Or known.
Now, I've yelled and screamed at everybody for years. Doesn't end up any good. But the difference is that you know, even if I, first of all, you can dismiss it as Ollie, which I kind of doubt many of you do that anymore. But you've got to know by now that if when I yell at you, it doesn't cause you to go into apostasy, i.e. go into self, into your closet, there's not, the likelihood is that there's probably not anybody on the face of the earth that can cause you to go into yourself. That's the only way I know how. You can't find this. I mean, you can find examples. Paul yelled at everybody. Christ yelled at the disciples all the time. You can't find any example of what we're doing. That's why, you know, you've been here, even if you've just been here a short time, you've still become inoculated in terms of the massive difference of what this is about. I don't know any other way to do it.
One thing I'll say is it certainly makes everything else in the world seem a lot easier. You know what I mean? Being here, it's funny, you're attracted, but it's also the hardest thing in the world. You know, you can go, I used to think radio was hard, or, you know, other stuff was hard, but it's not at all.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it's like nothing. Yeah. The thing that you know, you talk about sin being the sustained consciousness of error. And then you say that, you know, there's an arrival point when you know you can't make a mistake.
It means you know the flesh is no longer, the flesh is only flesh. It's just doing what flesh does.
You turn from sin because you just don't get flesh anymore.
Well, I mean, I don't want to belabor this point, but it seems to be rather basic to... I mean, I'm sure, you know, if I had been in Jim's shoes last night, knowing that Joysanna had been here for 13 years, and what happened to her last night happened, I mean, it's like, my God. What am I doing here? I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Not bad,
Jim. No, I asked why I stayed in the first place, then. Not that I can leave now, but...
Well, there's no question. You've got to say to yourself, is that the fruit of 13 years? To get totally and completely destroyed and wasted? And not only that, she sat there and cried for an hour and then got sent outside to cry for another hour and nobody would, I mean, there was no apparent compassion. I mean, my God, what the hell is this about? That's pretty scary. But go talk to her today or tomorrow. You know, that you might taste the freedom. No chastening for the present seems joyous. And we're talking majorly chastening. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The problem is in these hot seat stuff, is when you get someone whose idolatry is connected with abiding.
Not to mention
any names.
Who would that be?
We don't have people like that, do we?
Someone who would stay married to somebody for 9 years, not talking to them.
So we talked, but she didn't fuck.
Yeah, that too. But anyway.
Yeah, that too.
All right.
Which I mean, certainly. Not that you're made
out. Go to the star map. Does everybody understand this? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you do.
I think
my reaction to what you were saying was, you know, we went out on a forced march with full field pack, 50-mile march, and we just marched 49 miles, and everybody's dragging but going for the last mile, and you go, oh, by the way, we have to go another 50 miles.
Yeah, another 500.
Oh, yeah, so.
Okay.
No, he says 50, then he'll say 100.
Yeah, and then he'll lie.
Because see, everybody will just go, 500.
Then he'll lie?
That's what he brings out his line about, I'll do anything, I'll manipulate you, I'll trick you, I'll do anything. I'll lie to you.
How much will you get?
No, God will kill your cat.
Well, that's right.
Holy won't kill your cat.
Oh, I like cats.
I'll kill your dog.
I like dogs too.
I'll write to your mother.
I'll write to your mother.
Send your fruit paper.
Put Centaurus with the Southern Cross at your right hand at the bottom.
For those of you folks watching at home, don't try this at home.
Don't you have this map memorized yet?
Do I?
Don't all of us.
No, we haven't looked at it for months.
You were here.
Years.
We haven't met since you've been here, Jim.
He's on hold for a minute.
We only have bad hot seats. Only in college students here.
We thought, oh, we better do some studying now, Jim's here.
Watching movies every night.
Well, let's go just to identify quickly the major players here. The major players are the 12 constellations. Starts with Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini. What?
The way it is on this map, they look like cyclones.
And finally, Gemini, Cancer, and Leo. Those are the major players in the drama. And with each of those, there are three minor players. And that's where we're talking about. With Virgo, we saw that, again, if you look at all ancient mysteries, all ancient religions, Virgo becomes the one worshipped. In the Catholic Church, Virgo is the one worshipped. Mary becomes the intermediary, makes the desired one, which she is only pointing to and which she is only bearing, a non-player almost. But in Babylon, in Egypt, all of the ancient religions have the same story of the birth of a son from a virgin, but all of them end up worshiping the virgin instead of what she's containing. I wish we'd get to Orion. That's where I want to get to, and it's a long way.
Longest journey begins with the first stone.
First stone. All right, so we have the Virgin, Virgo. Again, remember the basis, the only, this is a circle, how do you know where to start? You know where to start because of the Sphinx, the head of the Virgin, the body of a lion. You start with Virgo, she's holding a branch, and she's holding the corn, or the seed. And that's the basis of every myth and every prophecy in the universe, is that one picture. The first all revelation is to unfold the mystery that we're about to look at. I don't want to do that detail. I'm just going to go through it quickly. The infant with the mother is the coma. The word coma means the desired one of all nations. And it just doesn't mean the desired one, it means all desire. So that any desire you have, the whole focus of the stars and the heavens are on coma. The birth of the child sitting on the lap of the Virgin. The next One is Centaurus, the one with two natures holding a spear, piercing a victim, the despised sin offering. The next one is Botes, back again under Coma, the great shepherd, the harvester. Now, Botes, we call it the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. We'll see that he's the shepherd of the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper when we get there. He's holding a rod of iron and a sickle, walking before his flocks, erroneously called the Big Dipper, or Little Dipper, or the Bears. And then we get to Libra. That's the constellation with its three decans. The Libra, the scales, the balance. This is the words on the wall of the temple in Babylon. The finger of God writing on the wall. The finger of God writing on the wall of your. You have been weighed in the balance, and you've been found lacking. And the awesomeness of that is that you've been weighed in the balance, not where you are today. You've been weighed in the balance. This is your birth, death, this is you. You've been weighed in the balance this way. Your whole life, from beginning to end, and every possible thing you can do has been weighed in the balance. You've been found lacking. Everything else in this star map is predicated on you understanding that. Unless you know tonight that you have been weighed in the balance, not by me, but by God Himself, and you've been found lacking, then none of the everything else will not make sense. That's what Christ said. He came not to call the righteous, i.e. those that think that they're not lacking. He came to call the ones that they know, not just that they're lacking now, but they always will be. That's a major, major explosion in the brain cells when you can see that. Now, the scale is obviously, you can't see it well on this star map, but it's a scale in which you are the one that's been raised up because the weight. And Christ is the one that has paid the price. It's the price that covers. Then you go down the first decan in Libra is the cross. And one of the things that we haven't studied yet about Libra, which we're going to wait until we get through the whole thing, is that there, prior to, have we ever talked about the Minoan culture in here?
Yeah.
Okay. There's almost now among Far East scholars, there's no one that doesn't know that all knowledge of astronomy, mathematics, astrology, the mysteries proceeded from the from Babylon to Egypt to Greece. Now, the problem is everything you've learned in undergraduate work in college and in high school says that it's the Greeks that brought this great work. Well, nobody believes that. No scholar worth his salt thinks the Greeks did anything except get all the credit. The only thing the Greeks did that changed life inexorably forever was they, with the Greek, then deduction became the major influence on what is now the Western world, instead of induction. It's the worst possible thing that could have happened to us from a spiritual standpoint. But all the knowledge, the great mysteries of Pythagoras and all of the other things, they've followed back. The Greeks got them from the Egyptians got them from the Babylonians. Except now we know the Babylonians got them from the Minoans. The Minoans were this weird, extremely highly advanced culture that it's an anomaly in all of history. And it's on the island of Crete. And it was that's where Noah settled after the flood. And it's like in the Gilgamesh epics and other things, we know about Noah. and they made treks to go to the center of worship and center of understanding for the whole world. Well, it came from the Minoan cultures. Okay? Now,
was this a recent discovery?
No. No, but these are the kind of things that the world has never known about. I mean, but it's always there. I mean, anybody that studied any postgraduate work in any time would always have been able to tell you that. Okay?
So it's knowledge of astrology, astronomy, that stuff.
Mathematics.
Mathematics. And then when the Greeks changed, how can you change astronomy into logic?
Because you would look at the stars.
And you make yourself not a part of them.
And you make yourself not a part. You're not in the middle of them, they're only there to observe.
And there's no participation between you and the thing that you see.
You see it by, then you begin the thought process of deduction. You deduce, which is what's worshipped in the scientific method. Except all real genius and all real advancement of thought has come from induction, even if you're trying to use the deductive method. All right. The first decan of, well, now I got to talk about Libra. There's evidence that in the Minoan culture, Libra was not the sign of a scale, it was the sign of an altar. And that when we finally get to it, when we finish these 12 things, then we have to begin to study the... Each one of these signs of the zodiac was assigned to one of the 12 tribes. And the camp, when they were traveling through the wilderness, was laid out by the tribes meeting this picture. And the tribe, the altar, Libra, was the thing assigned to the tribe of Levi. What? No, Levi. They became the priests. All right, now we go, the first decan of Libra is the cross, underneath Centaurus, hidden. It's the lowest thing, remember we studied this in detail, but it's the lowest thing in the sky. At the time of Christ, that cross, it's the only one of all of these star pictures that looks like what it is. Which is a big, big thing if you think about it. What are the odds of that? I mean, other than that, none of the other stars look like what they named, yet all cultures name them the same thing. But the cross looks like what it is. The time of Christ was the last time the cross was visible from the northern hemisphere. It slowly has sunk into the southern hemisphere. I think I've told some of you about this, but recent... And they just had this Texas Symposium on astrophysics and cosmology. It's the 14th annual one. It's now called the Texas Symposium, even if it's held in Belgium, because it originated here. And it's the gathering of all of the high-energy physicists and cosmologists of the world. It's the most prestigious, it's become the most prestigious place to give your papers for your scholarship. There were... About 5 years ago, there was a very controversial paper was given that said that this particular astronomer had been watching 20 constellations for several years. And he found that these constellations were all moving in the same direction at an extremely high rate of speed. Something on the order of less than the speed of light, but a common, and it caused all kinds of weirdness because normally, you know, I think of the universe up till that point, you had to think of a breadbasket, I mean the loaf of bread theory of cosmology. And that is if you had the lump of dough and you heated it and then everything was moving outward at the same speed going somewhere. You understand? So when this guy came along and said he'd seen 20 constellations that were all going something in the order of 350,000, I can't remember, high rate of speed, forgive me for not remembering. And they were all going towards one point. It blew him away when he gave that speech. So since then, 5 years ago, a bunch of other astronomers have been studying it. They've now, including the Milky Way, there's some, in a ditch, besides those 20, they've studied 70 additional constellations, all of the major ones that can be seen. They're all moving at the same rate of speed towards the same point. And they don't know it, but they say the point is slightly below the equator, and it's in the southern hemisphere. I'll wager everything in the universe, that everything in the universe is moving towards that cross, the southern cross. Now that's pretty big. I mean, that's big time discovery. And the highest known level of knowledge and math and astronomy, they're discovering in the universe that everything is rushing towards a point that's slightly below what?
It seems like you can model when it would get there.
The next constellation is, the next decan is the victim, Lupus.
Hold on, are these moving, is the movement, are all the constellations, they're retaining their configurations, they're moving in those configurations, they're not changing at all?
No. Okay, the second decan for the constellation of Libra, or the altar, now you can see, the reason I mentioned the altar is because now the victim makes more sense if it's on the altar. You remember when I studied Centaurus before, we talked about the spear of destiny that was forged by Phineas that was used by the soldier to... So this is the spear piercing the side of the victim. And if you followed that, it would come to the fourth chakra or fifth chakra of the victim in the same way that it did in Christ. And as Son of Man, he was the beast. All right, slain, pierced, but he's pierced by his own hand, in a way, if you see, because it's no one took his own life. He gave it up willingly. The next thing, then, is the fruit of that piercing, the next decan, is Corona Borealis. That's the crown. That's right to the left of Botes. And that's then the three decans of Scorpio, I mean of Libra. The cross, the victim, and the crown. The cross, the victim, and the crown. Now, and we haven't even entered the battle yet.
So this is like the... I don't understand that. Like, is this is a picture of the chronology of Christ's life?
See, it's...
Deductive.
It's the... Every one of these constellations in itself would show the full mystery.
Oh, okay. So they're each independent.
But taken together in the way that they are structured, it's a slightly different metaphor to reveal the whole picture, which gives you more flesh on the whole mystery. And it's even wilder, but I can't get into it yet, because to watch this pattern be repeated every night, it's day after day, night after night, under earth knowledge. We can't see that until we've gone through them all, though. Then if we could picture ourselves being in ancient times when there was no light, and every night we'd go out on the desert and see this awesome sky with these thousands, and the wise men, the magi, would point and teach in discipleship, watch the mystery of life unfold every night before your eyes. Now, that's why it says that from the time of the cross, the stars have stopped giving their light. The sun and the moon have stopped shining, from God's standpoint, because now they're just instruments of utilitarianism instead of instruments of revelation. You understand? I mean, this is big stuff. This is hidden stuff. All right.
So is the Decon a group of constellations?
Yeah. The Decon is three.
So how do we know they're related? Just the ancient myths, they were all related?
They're all, yeah, in every culture. Whether it's Egyptian or Chinese or Babylonian or Phoenician or Greek.
Is there something about the three that's similar that relates them?
They just complete a chapter or a book. This is like a book. And that each of the three taken together with its constellation is a book or chapter of the book. But these were selected by, not by me. I mean, all ancient star maps have this back jillions of years ago. Okay, now we got a cross, a victim, and a crown. Now we see more and more. We see the baby from the virgin, etc., etc. But now the first damn thing that happens is we got the snake trying to grab the crown. Now that's a picture of where we are right now. That's why I've said, you haven't grokked yet the 12 labors of Hercules, which we'll get into here in a minute. You've only grokked that somehow by hope there's a crown here up there somewhere above you. Oh, and so your mind every 5 minutes comes against it. And so you're still, this is where you are in the path. You understand me?
So it's us trying to grab the crown.
Okay. Or it's you not seeing. That's the perfect example. You not seeing who you are, so therefore you would say it's us trying to grab the crown. Okay. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is double, even the light that's in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Which is you? Who are you? Is the crown rightful? All right. Anyway, the next serpents is part of the constellation Scorpio. Scorpio, notice that it's continually seeking to wound the heel and itself is trodden underfoot. The first Decon, you know, see the sting, the scorpion sting is trying to hit Orpheus. And if you saw it, and it's, this is like a if you saw it, you'd see that that stinger is much nearer the heel, and the heel is slightly lifted as though wounded in battle. Now the first constellation is Serpens itself, the snake that Orpheus is battling. He's battling the snake while he's keeping his head on the foot of the enemy. A man wrestling with a serpent, struggling with the heel. His heel is crushing the enemy. Now again, all this goes back to the point of Genesis 3. Thou shalt wound the seed, it said to the seed of the serpent, thou shalt wound his heel, and to the seed of woman, thou shalt crush or overcome his head. This is the same battle that's going on in the stars, it's the same battle that's going on in you. Then finally, Hercules. Hercules is the largest constellation in the sky. We didn't look like that here, but he's the mighty man, wounded in the heel, kneeling, humbled in conflict, holding the tokens of victory, the golden apples, the three-headed dog of hell. And we've just studied those 12 labors, and so that's, in essence, where we are. Now, you can't go on until you know that he has led captivity captive. That's a biggie. You don't have any excuse for any other mindset other than to know that he has led captivity captive and has given gifts unto men. The gift he's given, it says he's given spirit unto man. In Ephesians. So that's where we are. We're ready now, hopefully, for Sagittarius.
Mr. Mr.
I don't think I'm communicating something. I don't think this has ever gotten into your head. Most of you, with I guess with one exception, maybe two, most of you have had absolutely no navigational training. You've never had to find yourself when you're someplace else. You've never had to use things to find who and where you are. There's a principle of navigation, and if you think of yourself as this stranger, and a pilgrim in a strange land without having any idea where you are, it's inexorable, it's constant in every kind of scientific thought, is that one witness is not reliable. Your view of self is fundamentally from one witness, you. It's not a reliable witness. Your sensory perception, because it's not five senses really, it's only the input that causes you to have one sense of self. Never in any kind of endeavor is one witness reliable. You can't do anything with it. In order to find out where you are, you have to have three witnesses. You can get by with two if you know, which in effect is three. There has to be three witnesses for you to triangulate to find out the point, the place where you are. And you can't know who you are unless you know where you are. Each one of you still have this definition of yourself. And it's based on, I've blamed it on your parents, and I've blamed it on your high place identities, and I've blamed it on this and all that. But fundamentally, nothing in your life has any credence except that which you gave it. Nothing. Thomas Wolfe said, I'm a part of all that I have touched, and all that has touched me, having no existence save that which I have given to it. So in the final analysis, you can't blame your mother, you can't blame your environment, you can't blame your father, you can't blame your high place identity. It's you that causes you to be who you think you are. And you're a totally and completely unreliable witness. I am a total and completely unreliable witness. There has to be something that is a reliable witness, something, some stuff. Well, the only thing that we have in the universe that's perceptible, that as far as we are concerned is immutable, unchangeable, are the position of the stars. God so arranged the distances, the magnitude of brightness and everything else, so that in your lifetime, no matter how long you live, there is no fundamentally perceptible change in the position of a star on any given day. If I went, December 20th from 1987 through 2050, and I had the most precise measurements that I could devise, the different places in these stars would remain the same. Do you understand how big that is? Nothing else that you can perceive will remain the same place. The movement of the star, the movement of the sun, the movement of the moon will move. The weather changes and will constantly move. The mountains can fall down with an earthquake. There is no thing that you can perceive with your senses that has any sense of permanence save the stars. Now, if you have any kind of intellectual honesty about you, it demands that you confront that. Everything else changes, so therefore everything else is a lie. Now, praise God, I'm going to worship the book. I'm going to be a bibliophile. No, you're not. That, just look at, there's 6 million interpretations of it. There's as many interpretations of it as there are people that have read it.
In USA Today this morning, they had top 5 interpretations of the Bible.
Rating top 5. But if you look at Torah, i.e., without all of the, it's a valid witness. The only thing that Jesus Christ ever called Scripture, the only thing that Paul ever called Scripture, was Torah, first 5 books. Everything else changes. They add it, they subtract it, they put it in some years, they take it out some years. But Torah has existed fundamentally without change for at least, by evidence, for 3,500 years. The only other thing on the face of the earth that I can know can meet that standard is the pyramid and the Sphinx. You know, the only purpose of the Sphinx is to point to the stars. The only purpose of the pyramid is to reveal the mystery of Christ. But the point is that if I'm right about the stars, about the pyramid, and about Torah, you are in deep trouble. Have you started to suspect that yet? If I'm right about these 3 witnesses, which by anyone's evidence, which anyone's demands for evidence, if we had the time and the inclination to prove it to them, the human race is in deeper trouble than it ever dreamed possible. I'm not studying these stars, and we're not going through this so that you can titillate your friends by hinting that you know the meaning of some deep ancient mystery. We are studying these stars so it will come against you as a witness. We are studying this Torah so it comes against you as a reliable witness. We studied the pyramid so it comes against you because none of your perceptions are valid. None of your perceptions are trustworthy. This is big time stuff, folks. This is as big as it gets. The thing that's going on and on in me is this idea of how little we know of the fear of the Lord. And how dull of hearing we've become by civilization. And how everything that we hold important is an enemy. Because we can, it's like, you know, it's not an accident, I think, that we went outside now and there's, the clouds are over the stars, so you can only see one or two of the very bright stars. And so if we were in the ancient times on the desert, and we went out for this meeting of discipleship, and you looked up at the clouds, and you could see no stars, and then because of the intimacy of what was going on, the process would be, there's a cloud. Why? What's going on? You understand? We can see nothing tonight. So, what's going on? We forget that this process of the cloud caused Israel to spend 39 years at Kadesh Barnea. 39 years. Again, I'm back in that position where I long for the terror of the desert. You know, where survival is everything, where the simplicity of that would, what that would engender in our lives. Sometimes I'm so tempted just to go out there and say, whoever wants to come, come. But that would be the denial of where we are, so I can't do that either. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are called the firmament. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth forth knowledge. And there is no place, no speech, no language where that voice is not heard. The influence has gone out throughout the whole world, and their words to the end of the world. The world is without an excuse. You're without an excuse. That's kind of awesome. In them, in the heavens, he has set as a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And as rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and a circuit at the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Who can understand his errors? Who cleanse thou me from secret faults? Keep thou back thy servant from presumptuousness. Let it not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that all her iniquity has been pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And the answer is, all flesh is as grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and surely all the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor has taught him anything? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, or taught him in the path of judgment? Or who taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, all the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are accounted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations and people are before him as nothing. They are counted him less than nothing and vanity. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and goldsmith spread it over with gold, and he casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will you liken me then? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these, that bringeth out their host by number, the stars. He calleth them all by name, and the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He that giveth power to the weak, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, but the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon their Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Take it, big guy.